more than enough. Amen. It's more than enough. Somebody's need is scaring him. You know, but that's what you came to hear this morning. God telling you that he is more than enough. The needs, irrespective, don't let the needs scare you. Just relax, rest, and know that God is more than enough. Hallelujah. I think it was last week we were reading when they were going to battle and there was drought, and they thought they were going to starve. We're reading about Elijah or Elisha. Which one? Elijah. Yes, and then he said what? He told them, he said, dig a ditch. There will be no rain, no cloud, no rain. Yet the place will be full of water. So God is saying there will be no signs in the physical, yet the provision will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The provision will come. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So it's a family meeting. We talk. Amen. But in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And I just follow the signals that I pick. So, do we have testimonies here this morning? Do we have testimonies? Yes. Okay, yeah, what you should have. Come. Come quickly. Just play softly. Not any particular song. Just play softly. Does it look different? Does it look different? It's coming out. He's even taller than me again now. He was taller, but he's taller again. You went to battle, you won, you conquered. Have you? Amen. He went for bride price ceremony, they call it, have you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's amazing being in the presence of God again today. I want to really thank God for, you know, I went for the bride price ceremony, and you know, God actually made everything so simple. It's been a while. I've been talking to my in-law on the phone. We've been doing the video call and all of it all. So meeting her on the first day, you know, it was like we've met for a long time. And you know, when they did the first, you know, introduction and everybody meeting family. It was like, at the end of the day, I was like, is this all? You know, it was so simple. And, you know, God fought for me in a way that everybody agreed to our terms. And even the elders, people, you know, I was surprised. I had someone on the day itself, I was paying her bride price. I had someone fighting for me. You know, I had a lot of people throwing bills, you know the extra bills they used to throw on that day. It was coming in, but I had like two people who stood the ground and fought for me. I want to thank God because the supply was more than enough. I want to thank him for prayers. Thank him for Seth said something on that day. I had to call him. I said, Seth, man, just give me a fatherly blessing this morning, you know. And he said, all is well. You know, we got there, rain did not follow. On that day, rain showed up, and you know, I was about to go bait, and I said to myself, I already prayed about all these things now, so I'm not going to stress myself about it. And immediately, I was putting on my clothes, the rain ceased. We got there, everything went smooth. I paid everything. I sure took my wife to Lagos. We came back, sure. So God has been faithful. Hallelujah.
You can see the man was short of words. Pastor, why were you looking at him like that? He has just started. Don't worry. He who started a good work will complete it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yes, please go. Please come, move quickly.
thank God for the
what is who for? The glory of God. Okay. Yeah? I thought they were born again.
Praise God. I just want to thank God for the first half of 2022, January to June. God has been good. I have a long list. With my little faith, God has surpassed my expectations. I want to thank God for direction, having information ahead of time, knowing what to do. I want to thank God for provision. I want to thank God for His protection as well. The devil tried many things, but because we were inside Jesus' bulletproof van, there was no effect. We saw it from the outside. I want to thank God for His mercy, His compassion, His favor. There is a lot, but I can't say all. I just want to thank God. That song that says, I have seen the Lord's goodness, His mercies and compassion. I think that song was made for me. Praise God.
Hallelujah. You know, open your Bibles quickly to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I think Grandpa mentioned something this morning about religion and how fear and all that is what motivates people sometimes in their walk with God. But there's a reason why there is a total word ministry. There's a reason why there is a surpassing grace assembly. It has nothing to do with fear. It's actually the opposite. Amen. It's to raise people who have a very comfortable relationship with God, who understand the word. I think recently also I came across a video online, and a number of people I think are sharing that on Creflo Dollar, you know, talking about tithes and all. I don't know how many people saw it. They're looking at me like, so it's not viral. Okay, maybe thank God. Amen. But I listened to a clip of it, and what he started with was he mentioned something about the fact that people are oftentimes motivated by fear. So when we're talking, you were talking about Job this morning, and the fact that his worship of God was motivated by fear. So, and that shouldn't be. Amen. That shouldn't be. We shouldn't worship God out of fear. The only fear you can have is the one that drove you to God, which is the fear of hell. You don't want to go to hell. That drives you to God. After that, your walk with God is not out of fear. It's actually out of love. Amen. It's out of appreciation for what He has done. Can I have an amen? So we have what we call Total Word Ministries. Under it, we have different streams. You know, one of the streams are the church activities. And we have, We have Surpassing Grace Assembly, Ibadan. We have Surpassing Grace Assembly, Lagos. We have Compass Fellowship, which is a virtual fellowship, and it's for diasporans, amen. So you don't hear much about it. We have many other activities, but it's good to always remind ourselves of what we're doing, amen, and why we're doing it. So Colossians chapter 1, this you'll find quoted sometimes when you see Total Word Ministries, verse 28, it says, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word perfect, very often when you see that, means mature. Can I hear you say mature? That we may present every man mature in Christ Jesus. We may present every man mature. So we have a mature walk. We grow in Him. Hallelujah. And Him we preach. We preach the word. We preach the word. We preach the word. John chapter 1 says, He in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. It's that same Jesus that is the Word. And it says here, we preach the Word, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Him. So we cover all the syllables. Hallelujah. We speak about everything in the Word. As long as it's in the Word, as long as it's doctrinally correct, that's what we preach. That's what we cover. Why? For the maturity of the saints. Can I have an amen? There's another scripture, the youth will know. The scripture for today. Are you hearing me? You know it. You know it. Can you quote it? You're using iSignal. Eh? Who can quote it? Who can? I need help. Okay, tell us what it is. Tell us what it is. Which part of the Bible is it? Tell us. No, we have our memory verses we deal with on a daily basis. So,
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7.
Are you sure? Is that the correct one? Yes, Ola. Is that the one for today? Aha. What's the one for today?
Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17.
You know what is there? What does it say?
The Lord teaches me his words. It strengthens me and makes me more like him.
He teaches me. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Can you open that? 2 Timothy 3. All of you are looking jealously. The way they are just referring to scriptures and all that. You are looking jealously. Should we be sharing it with all of you? Huh? We should be sharing with you. We won't even share it with you. The one that you have been, that is being sent to you all the time. What have you done with it? We won't share with you. We won't. Read the one that you get in your phone every day. 2 Timothy 3:16. What does it say? Every scripture. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. So ultimately, in fact, I had a lovely afternoon yesterday talking to, so I call them two alumni, you know, and one I saw physically at lunch, and she was talking about how all of the foundation that she's built on was based on what she learned when she was with us in Ibadan. Another is out of the country and was sharing about some of the things happening now and the transition she's making and the fact that, you know, this is the impact and the testimonies that she has. And I see them as a fulfillment. Amen. That if you follow, you know, it's not just about coming to church. Are you still there? It's not about just coming to church. It's not just about numbers. We're believing God for more and more people can have an amen. But that's not all it is. It's about the journey of the people. Amen. It's about what happens to you as a person. You know, I come to church. What happens to you? What does it do for you? How has it moved you from point A to Z? How has it moved you in your growth, in your walk with God? That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So that's the whole banner for the ministry right there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So we're not doing ministry or doing church for doing sake. That's not what it's all about. Are you still there? It's about the lives. Paul was writing the Corinthians. He said, you are our epistles written with inks on human hearts and read by all. So the idea is that your life, and I think we said a bit of that during the Bible school, your life becomes that which people read. I don't care who you were. I don't care what your starting point was. I don't care what your past was like. But what we are believing God for and what we are doing here is to see your life transformed. Can I have an amen? See it to the place where, like Job, as we're reading in the Bible school, Paul can brag and say, do you see Jide? Do you see Tunde? Do you see Bola? There's none upright, blameless, like him or like her. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14. It says, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace. One says the surpassing grace of God in you. That's where the name comes from and really the vision. I'll read you in the ERV version. The easy to read version says, and when they pray, they will wish they could be with you. They will feel this way because of the great grace that God gave you. I'll take that again. It says, and when they pray, they will wish they could be with you. They will feel this way because of the great grace that God gave you. So your life becomes attractive. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay. I was going to ask Pastor NY to share again, you know, the vision. When we're starting, we set out 3 days. I just come to Lagos. I was a squatter in Lagos. And we set out 3 days to fast and pray. And we did. So sometimes you need to revisit. Amen. Habakkuk says, write the vision down, make it plain that it may run that reads it. Meaning that there has to be constant reading. Amen. And revisiting. Hallelujah. And as we revisit that, there are other things I want to talk about, but I want to, you know, deal with, like I said, I'm following signals, and then I deal with this quickly. And then I want to say a few things about the social media this morning. And family meeting means we can talk. Amen. It means it can be interactive. Hallelujah. Yes, please. So we fasted and prayed for 3 days, and God showed us the things, because people had asked, oh, you're going to Lagos, so you start surpassing grace in Lagos. I said, nah, except God says so. You know, we're not out to branch and branch or whatever. No, that's not the intention. So God has to say so expressly, you know, for that to be. Otherwise, we're not interested. I'm not going to do that because I'm now in Lagos. Oh, then I'm now in Kaduna. I'm now in Abuja. No. Not interested. God has people everywhere. Can I have an amen? And God has a plan. Can I have an amen? He has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. If everybody will stay in their own place and do what he has asked them to do, then we'll have a mighty, impactful church. Hallelujah. The Bible compares the body of Christ to the human body. You know, so there's a little toe, there's a big toe. If your big toe, anybody ever had Wicklow? Or Wicklow, they call it. Ever had Wicklow before, anybody? Ah. Where did you have it? That finger. Aha. How was your brain? I thought you said it was your finger that was problematic. It wasn't your brain, was it? Or your brain was finding it difficult to concentrate? Have you? You ever had toothache? Anybody, do you ever had toothache before? Ah, people are looking like their teeth is fantastic. Have they removed your tooth before? They removed it before. Why? Okay, was there pain? And with the pain, God, you were just... it was here. But it's your tooth now. And you say your tooth, then you point at this. The thing was hitting you here. That's how the body functions. Amen. Everything functions together. Hallelujah. Okay, so Pastor, where we share with us quickly.
Praise God. So what we're bringing... While we're praying, a big tree part, and he had thick foliage that spread like a canopy.
Yeah, we saw it outside where we were praying.
Outside. No. We're like you said, we just finished fasting and we're praying in the evening. I think man was half asleep. Mr. Drogi was lying down. I was even lying down because I was very tired, and so it was like a vision. And then so it was a big fat tree that had thick foliage, like a canopy, and it spread. And people were coming in to take shade. So it was sunny all around, and it was too much for them. And then they would come in to take shade, and then they leave. And that's how we got the place of refuge. So they came in under the canopy.
So clear instruction. So it was like knowing that, look, God is passing signals. I said, let's fast and pray, you know, for some time, and let's pick up the signals more clearly. And then God spoke, amen. And that's when we started. Friday, we started fasting and praying on the first day of the month. Like we saw Acts 13 as a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. So God said again that night, Abby. This, if you were there online, God spoke. So, Mrs. D, what do you see?
Praise God. Okay, so I saw a big tree again, a very big one, green leaves. I saw birds flying. I looked closely and they were white. They were like doves, a lot of them flying just above the tree. And then I saw a bright ray of sunshine just shining down. So the big tree, the birds, and the bright ray of light shining.
Does it sound familiar? Or does it sound similiac? Eh? It's sounding similiac. You are quiet now. I'll be calling you by name. Eh? Are you there? It sounds similar, isn't it? Okay, great. Then you also gave a word, so please come.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. So we're praying that evening. What I heard in my spirit was what I gave, and what God was saying was that we should get set for the new. We should get prepared to embrace the new and not be conformed to the old. So He is almighty and He cannot be fixed. So we are the ones who need to embrace what's new. I sense deeply, very strongly in my spirit that there's going to be a great move of God. It's supernatural. And we all need to align ourselves and get set, align ourselves, because you don't want to miss this move. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So, and I said that was the interpretation of what she saw. Okay? And then you join into what he saw years ago. Hallelujah. And put it all together, it becomes whole inside of you. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. Okay, any more testimonies? I think just one more and then I'll move on. If there is one more. Yes.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to give God praise for grace and strength. Each time God gives you a word, the devil will come and try the word. Amen. Get that very clearly. God can give you a word, but the devil will definitely come, just like we started this morning about Job, and try the word and see how much of the word you hold there. So within the week, we've always testified here and everywhere how God has been faithful to us, especially in our farm project, and we've been praying and everything. Within the week, we went to see Pastor Muyiwa. Thank God, he has been a part of an accountability partner. He has always, you know. So we were there. We sat with him on the table, and he asked some questions. He said, okay, do this, and you know, and all that. And so we gave him reports how far we have fared, and it looked good, so good. Praise God. And then as we went home, I remember we still thanking God and praying and all that. I'd gone to the farm that night, and the carpenter came to do, there's this belt, this iron they used to meet the roof, to hold the roof and the body of the building together. So he had come to do that in about 3 or 4 places. And then when he finished, there was no light, I took torch, looked at the birds, they're fine. And I told my security man, I said, Abu, make sure you cover this place till Baba Shehu will come the next day to put cement and cement it. He said, okay. So what he carelessly did was, he simply covered one and left the rest holes. And by the time we got back the next morning, in fact, my wife got to the farm before me and she screamed and called me. I said, come. When I got there, Abu had caused the disaster. So I don't know what crept into what found its way into the pen and beat some of the birds, and some of them died. We lost quite a number of them, about at least a minimum of about 20. He had already thrown them over the fence to the water. And my wife just fell down. I was like, in fact, we were just asking, Apple, what did you do? What did you do? And I went to the wall. He was giving me excuses. He was telling me, There was no light. It was drizzling. I didn't just answer. My heart just took me. I just went to that fence. I looked and I saw those holes. And I told him, I said, Abu, you didn't cover these holes that I told you to cover. And apparently that's where either a snake or mouse found its way to into the pen and bit them. I want to give God praise because other farms around there who had similar issues, they lost a minimum of 200 beds. And we had at least 700 beds in that place. But we lost just approximately 20. It's a painful thing, but God just wanted to help us to be, I don't know what word to use, because it could have been worse. Trust me, it could have been worse. The other people who had similar issue, what they told us was, they had this, I don't know what it is that just kills birds like that, but it will just heap them in one place. It just bites them, kills them, doesn't eat them, but we just surround them in one place. And you just come and see them in a large number like that, 100 or 200. We know one 100, another one 200, and all that, but just 20. We just laughed and prayed over it, and we just trust God, and we are healed from that. But it's an eye-opener, amen, that we take no chances, no matter how small, no matter how small, never break the edge, because the serpent will bite. Amen. Amen. I just want to give God praise, because it could have been worse, but even in all this, I give him praise, because he's our strengthener, and he's our succor, he's the one who comforts us and gives us hope. Amen.
Amen. You know, I mean, the place went quiet. Those birds. They haven't seen them before. You know, have you ever wondered about that scripture when the Bible says, in all things give thanks? Have you ever wondered before and said, is God serious? Does he really mean it? You know, am I supposed to truly give thanks in all things? And you know, the reason why you can do it is what he had just said. It could be worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I hear you say it could be worse? No matter what you are going through, it can be worse. So that it's not worse than it is. The verse will say, oh, fire your belly. It means he left enough space for you to give thanks. There's still enough left for you to give thanks. Oh, they stole everything I have, but they didn't kill you. So there's still space to thank God, because they could have easily shot you now. Have you ever been robbed before? I've been in armed robbery before. You know, when somebody is holding a gun like that, you don't know what he's on. Whether he's on Indian hemp, whether he's on whatever, whether he's hearing some spirits, you know, speaking, his brain at that time is not proper. You get what I'm saying? So something might just be telling him, try the gun now. Test it now. Shoot and see whether the guy will die. So if he took everything and left you, there's still space for thanks. Are you with me? So 20 birds, there's space for thanks. That's a lot of money, isn't it? But there is space to thank God. I see the agriculturist is nodding. Say, hey, that's a lot. But there is space for thanking God. Yes, sir.
So permit me to say this. Two days before, I think on Tuesday, came to me and I sent them a message that if you stay still, there will be no loss. And it says now that there will not be any loss. So that is not nothing. That's what he's saying, that you should not forget that word that he said to you, that there will be no loss.
Amen. You have confused them all. Are you there? You know, sometimes when God is speaking, he's speaking to the end of the matter. Are you with me? And the way to handle prophecy is that no matter what you are going through, like I said, he's speaking to the end of the matter. No matter what you are going through, hold on to what God has said and wage war with it. That means go in your closet, pray, and say, God, this is what you said. It's not looking like it, but this is what you said. Are you hearing me? And then you will see God do what he said. How he said it. Amen. What he means and how he will get it done is none of your business. He's not telling you what you will go through. He tells you what the end will be. He says, I'm the Lord, and there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, saying, I will do all of my will. Everything that I said, I will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 2, I'm just quoting. Paul says, rejoice when you fall into diverse kinds of temptations or trials. Amen. One translation says, throw a party. When it looks like all hell is breaking loose around you, throw a party. Hallelujah. Why? Because the trying of your faith produces patience. Patience, when it's complete, does what? Patience will give you, make you whole and entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. And the word patience there means consistency. When you are consistent in your prayers, consistent in confessions, consistent in your faith, then at the end of the matter, you will want nothing. Hallelujah. Okay, very quickly. I have a few thoughts, you know. What I tagged, surviving the social media scourge. You know, what's the meaning of the word scourge? You know, who is grammarian? Who went to grammar school? Huh? You went to grammar school. What's a scourge? Ah. Eh? Meaning, yes. Plane. Plague. Okay. Who else? Yes, they've given us one word. So a scourge is a plague. What's a plague? Epidemic. Have we? So something that is infected. So it's negative and it's all over the place. Hallelujah. And infecting and destroying stuff. I don't have any more time, much more time. But I read you a story that I actually just saw this morning about some young teenagers in the UK who were just sentenced to jail. 8 to 21 years, you know, and they were sentenced to jail for being on social media. Okay, they were sentenced to jail because basically one of them got killed, and then these guys formed a group on Telegram, and in the group, you know, they were upset, and they were discussing, we will deal with those guys, we will kill them, and then they got arrested for that 300 or so chats on the Telegram. And the things they said, I mean, one or two people were actually attacked, but most of these guys, they didn't do anything other than they were talking on this thing. No, we will not take, no, we will deal with them. No, we will. And then they got arrested and they were sentenced to jail terms of 8 to 21 years. It just talks about the dangers, you know, of the times we are in. I don't even know why is it called social media? You know, it's media. So it's like radio. When we're growing up, the in thing was what? You needed to have a transistor radio. And then you had television come along, and the television will run from about 4 p.m. till about 10 p.m. After a while, they could reach midnight, especially on Friday night when they show you Indian movie. Huh? Wednesday, Chinese. Friday, Indian movie. And somebody was saying to me, said, I don't understand why people watch Z World. Who watches Z World here? All of them are He said, because it's not real. She said, I know Indians. This is not them. They are not like this. This is exaggerated. So I said, look, Indians have always exaggerated. That's the way their television has always been from when I was small like this. It's the Indian that we point somebody like, pew, the guy will just go up, pew, to the top of the roof. Or you want to attack him like this, he will just jump, pew, and he will go and land on top of the roof. And it's not juju. They are saying that the guy is just a very strong fighter, not juju. If it's Yoruba one, it's juju. They are telling you that he used juju to disappear. But Indian will say, no, he's just a strong guy. And he just jumps, pew, and he will land on the roof. I said, so they've always been exaggerators. That's what Bollywood grew on. Are you there? But then we moved and things have shifted, you know. In fact, these days you find that many kids don't even watch TV. And everybody's spending most of the time on their phones, on the laptop. Even I stopped paying for cable TV because I realized there was really nothing I was paying for. It was hardly being watched. And then everything that, what I wanted to watch, he said, you can watch on YouTube now. If I want to watch news, he said, it's on YouTube now. I said, oh, that is true. So why am I paying this? You know, let me just pay for internet and then I'll get everything I want. You know, and that's what is going on. But when you look at some of these things, you'll ask yourself and say, well, does the Bible have anything to say about them? You know, they're influencing us very much. And I'm not saying young people, I'm saying us. Let the adults say amen. Everybody's quiet again. Huh? I'm right. Lead. We are youth.
Okay. We are youth.
Okay. Good. So you wonder and say, look, what's there in scripture? Of course, I've started sounding a bit negative, but it's not all negative. Okay? Social media can be positively used. Just like when the TV came, there were people who believed that the TV was the devil's box. And as a Christian, you're not supposed to watch TV. It's the devil's box. And then people realized that, you know what? We could use this TV for evangelism. So churches and ministries started putting programs on TV. So there are people who don't watch anything except they are watching a preacher. And there are several people also who are terrible, unsaved people. In fact, Jesse Duplantis got saved watching Billy Graham on TV. You know, so you can imagine. Now look at who he is, worldwide ministry. He got saved because he came across Billy Graham on television. That's what got him saved. So again, it became effective. So there's a positive side. You know, but I'm calling this scotch because it looks like most people fall prey to the negativities than the positivities. So I have a few thoughts, a few things, and a few scriptures we can look at and see how they correlate. Are you here? I said, are you here? And it's family meeting, so we'll be discussing. And of course, I mean, the church is on social media. We have Facebook. We are on, which one now? Instagram and YouTube. So I'm also using the opportunity to say follow us. Okay, are you on social media? Why are you laughing now? Eh? It's not. I'm on everything. I have an account for everything. So Facebook, TikTok, what have you? Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. You find me there. So look for church also, follow, amen. And you know, the idea also is to increase the positive use. So increase the positivities, the positive messages on those channels by following such things and sharing the things that bless you from there. Can I have an amen? So that when people open it, okay, they have the opportunity to watch and spend more time seeing things that improve them rather than the things that make life difficult for them. Hallelujah. Okay, so in no particular order, I'm just going to go through a number of scriptures and then we'll see how this might relate to the things that happen to us. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Let people help me. Spread the mics. Proverbs 27, verse 21. Who has found that? Proverbs 27, verse 21.
Proverbs 27, verse 21. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise.
So is a man to his praise. Do you understand that scripture? Huh? Who has the ERV or the Passion Translation? ERV. Okay. Please just give us mic. Put mic in every kid, instead of running around with one each, just put mic in every column. ERV.
Praise God. ERV says, people use fire to purify gold and silver. In the same way, you are tested by the praise people give you.
Good. Read it again.
People use fire to purify gold and silver.
Use fire to purify gold and silver.
In the same way, You are tested by the praise.
In the same way, you are tested by the praise that people give you. So I was saying that because if you read it in King James, or it's easy to miss the message. Okay? But when you read in a translation like that, who has a Passion Translation? TPT. Who has TPT? Or do you have it? Can you just give us TPT here? Sorry, hold on. This is the one. Okay.
Fire is the way to test the purity of silver and gold. Or the character of a man is tested by giving him a measure of faith.
So it says the character of a man is tested by giving him a measure of fame. Give him a little fame. It will test him. It will put him to test. It will try his person. It will try his character. Now, do you see any link between that and social media? And what are you seeing? Eh? Like. Are we? You post something. Say, how many likes did you get? Are you with me? And the more the likes, what happens? The man is beginning to feel cool. He's feeling cool. So the day he posts and there's no like, what happens? Huh? Yeah, you're becoming quiet too. Huh? Now, you know what I usually tell people? Is that if the responses you get on social media bother you, how many likes and things, get off social media. You get it? A person is tested by the praise. A person is tested by the fame. If it gets to you that I posted something, nobody even liked it, only two people even liked it, blah, 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 please stop. Quit social media, fast, and pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it's revealing something to you about you. Something is happening to you. Or is it that you are finding out who you are? And how much praise matters to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's showing you that the praise matters to you more than it should. So you're having a bad day because only two people click like. You have a problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So either that's who you were or that's who you are becoming. But there's a problem. Tap your neighbor. Say, I know he's not talking about you. Or the way they are looking at me, you know. But does it sound like it? This speaks to it. Are you with me? You know, there's a story in 2 Samuel. Let somebody go to 2 Samuel 16. Although it's a long read, I'm not sure we can read everything. Maybe not. 2 Samuel 16. So, from verse 23. Verse 23 in 2 Samuel is the last verse. Then you read to verse 23 of chapter 17. So maybe we won't read it. It's very long. Okay? It's very long. But it's a story about when David was king and his son, Absalom, committed a coup. And David had to run out of town. Left town in a hurry because his son was taking over government. And David took off. But along the line, David saw one of his friends who was following him. And David said, don't follow me. He said, go back and stay in the palace with him. And the guy said, no, I'll be with you. He said, no. Go back and stay with that guy. He said, because there is another advisor there by the name of Ahithophel. He said, Ahithophel is there and I want you to counter Ahithophel, basically. So his other friend went back and stayed in the palace. And Ahithophel, the Bible says in verse 23, maybe you read verse 23. Who has opened it? 2 Samuel 16, 23. Just that one verse first. Who has seen that? Yes, 16:23.
The advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel.
Did you hear that? Huh? Did you hear it? It says the advice of Ahithophel was, in those days, was as if you had heard from God. So anything Ahithophel said, when he speaks, he say, wow. Anything he says must be accepted. People were just astounded and blown away by his advice. And then he then said, you know what, King Absalom, let me take some men tonight. Let's chase David. I'm sure by now he's tired where he is. We will catch up with him. We will kill him. And then when we do, everybody will turn back and follow you. Because at least we've killed David. Everybody will come back to you. And the whole place will be one following you. And that was great advice, isn't it? Because he was thinking ahead that, look, this man will be tired. He's been running since, he'll be tired. Let us chase him now. And then the other guy said, the advice of Ahithophel is not good. Today, he's normally a very good guy, but today, that advice is not good. He said, you see that your king, your father, David, is a man of war. By now he knows, he will know our plan. He will know we want to chase him. By now he has probably crossed over to this place and that place. We will not be able to catch him. And then he will even defeat you. And when he does and he kills the people you send and all of that, everybody will lose, faith in you. And you'll be in trouble. And the Bible says, Absalom said, what this guy said is correct. It's better than Ahithophel's son. So, I think it's verse 23, is it? What does verse 23 say? Where's the mic on this side? Because you won't be able to move across so quickly. That's why I said put one mic on each side.
And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father.
You need to read that whole story. Are you with me? So when he saw that this one time they did not follow what he said, he went and he hanged himself. I spoke and they didn't follow it. I've been getting 250 likes. Then I posted something, I got only 2. I am finished. 2 likes, me. I don't know how true it is. I saw something also online, I think yesterday or the day before. They said somebody who had thousands of followers on Instagram, a lady, maybe 2,500 or more, something like that, followers on Instagram, then decided she was organizing a physical event that meet and greet, come and I'm a superstar now. After all, I have thousands of followers on Instagram. So I'll be at blah, blah, blah on so-so day at so-so time. Come and meet me and greet me. And nobody showed up. At least, good enough, I think she posted it herself to say, basically, this is a reality check. That all these thousands of people following me online, I'm not a star anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are all kinds of people who have this. Now, this is not just talk. This is now research findings. That there are people who are committing suicide. There are people in depression and what have you. Moods are being mishandled because of social media. Because people are getting their self-confidence, their dignity, their joy, their happiness from social media. Are you there? Don't be like Ahithophel. Are you hearing me? Let me tell your neighbor, say, don't become Ahithophel. Does it sound like, is it related? Does anybody have any experience along these lines? I'll give you 1 minute very quickly. Anybody, any experience you think will benefit us, you want to share along those lines of the likes, dislikes, responses, or non-responses? It's amazing to me how people get into all kinds of almost fisticuffs online. What do you mean? And sometimes they are discussing something that neither of them knows anything about. None of them is an authority on it. Everybody is trying to prove that they are smart, that they know. And I'm thinking, why do you need to get your self-worth from this? Are you there? Listen, everything that we have is a tool. But the moment the tool begins to control you, then it's a problem. That's part of what Brother Yemi was talking about on Thursday. When what you should just have as a tool, enjoy or whatever, once it begins to control you and it's meaning more than it should, just like people shouldn't either. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The key of your joy should not be in anybody's hands. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You should own your own joy, own your own mood, own your own life. You shouldn't allow people to have too much authority over how you feel, over whether you enjoy your day or not. You shouldn't. You're in trouble. The moment those things start to happen to you, you're in trouble. And it means that social media is no longer just a tool for you. It has become your master. Are you there? Okay, go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Verse 16 to 22.
Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him.
Verse 22.
Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We will know, therefore, what these things mean." Continue.
Yes, sir. Verses 21 and 22.
Okay. "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either in tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. You ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world."
That's verse 22, is it? Yes, thank you. So who can see anything about social media and what I read? Who can see anything in there? Were you following at all? Huh? Okay, read verse 21 again. Of course, you know what I mean. You will not see TV in the Bible, for instance. You know, but you can see how those things work and relate it to some of the things they experience. So if I say Psalm 101, David said, "I will not place anything wicked before my eyes." Okay, you can relate it and say, what you watch on TV, the blah, blah, blah. But you won't find TV itself there. So in the same way, you ask yourself and say, what's the similarity to what we're experiencing now? Okay? So, verse 21.
"For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothingness, but either to tell or to hear some new thing."
Yeah? Anybody, does that sound anything like it? Huh? No, please, take the mic. Tell us, what do you...
It's very, very self-explanatory. Like, what is happening right now? A lot of people, once they pick up their phones, they want to see updates. Status updates, what have you. In fact, if you want to tell people's life, you can see their whole life story on updates, on status, on their status. You can tell when they proposed, when they got married, when their marriage broke up, when you can see, even our celebrities, you see all of their stories, lifeline on, they just leave it on social media.
Somebody posted one, said, home alone. Parents gone.
Ah.
For the weekend. Eh? She's home alone. Parents gone. I say, hey. So are you asking people to come and break into your house? Are you getting what I'm saying? Why must you tell people that you are home alone? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's risky. And then people put up all kinds of things. They said they like to tell and to hear of something new. Everybody just posts things. They just put things there, say anything. Did you hear? Did you make this one happen? He just shares it. There's one guy on a WhatsApp group, you know, that I'm on for our school. And every breaking news, he puts it there. And I will ask myself, I say, why is he putting it there? It's not a news. It doesn't work for news channel. Why does he need to put it there for us? You get what I'm saying? Why? What's your own? He wants to be the first to tell us.
So many people wants to. I think it's a trendy social media craziness. Yeah. That if Peter Obi picks up a running mate right now, some people are so eager to be the first to announce it. It's a form of craziness, but you will not know. Because this thing has a subtle way of creeping into, the video just has a new baby mama. You want to be the first to share it. Like, they pay you to share these things. And just that the shocking thing, again, is even in church, we have people who do it very well, joyfully, without being paid a cobalt. They spend their data. But the flyer that we share can also be shared also, but they don't. They don't. The same people, they leave it even in church on their seat and go home after it has been shared. So, I think these things also can be used rightly. Can be used rightly.
Okay. Are we saying something? Huh? You know, at the end of the day, when you just sit, I always call it a market square. You know, when you're on Facebook, I say it's a market square. You know, people, or if you wish, be a palo. Where people just talk. And what results out of it oftentimes is confusion. Okay, so by the time these guys were done with hearing and telling something new, the Bible says they had an idol for every kind of God they had ever heard about. Somebody will come and say, there's one God, can you come? They will create one altar for that one. They will hear this one, they will create another altar for that one. Except eventually they created an altar, they say, to the unknown God, even the one we don't know. There's altar to it. And you find out that a lot of idols are also being created. Now, one of the dangers of the things we see, we hear, they talk about the gates to the heart. You know, your eye gate, your ear gate. Those are the things, how things get in your heart. Is that ultimately when you take in stuff, it starts recreating your mindset, what you believe in. That's what we see. Are you hear what I'm saying? I know you're still thinking, no, what are you talking about? And then people start asking and start wondering, what is really wrong with wearing earrings, Seth? With a man wearing earring, what is really wrong? Are you with me? Tap your neighbor, say, I know it's not you he's talking about. But what is happening is simply because those things are circulating. You understand? They are circulating. It's trending. You know, and as the more you see the things that are trending, it may not be about that one, but you idolize something or someone, and that person, you know, if it's a person, that person looks like that. And before you know it, your defenses or your beliefs about those things have been changed. Your standards have been lowered. Are you with me? You have gone quiet, oh. Yes, sir. All right, but there'll be a small refreshment.
How about the Athenians?
Pastor Enwa has approved.
I see, what I see here is that he's trying to tell them that you don't have to follow these people because they are not serious-minded people. What is they are interested in is to carry news or to listen to news. So if you go and form opinion or you go and use whatever they are saying as leading for your life, you just find yourself. when you look at your back, just like you were saying, so just look at your back.
We had another Yoruba one to it, sir. He says, we don't know. Who can interpret that for us? You interpret the first one, sir, and then you interpret.
Mad person, but you don't pray to have him as your biological child.
So you can watch him, he will entertain you very well, but he's not good enough to be family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's not good enough to pattern or wish for yourself, your family, and all that. So you see certain things, it's entertainment, leave it there. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you must consciously leave it there, otherwise, it's going to shape how you think. It's going to shape how you believe. It's going to shape how you live. Except you are conscious, just like he just told us now. Except you are conscious, realize, I'm not supposed to be like this. So. Okay? They tell you that, they are successful. And he has all the dreads. And he has hair rings. The guy wears hair rings and knows, and he knows God. And blah, blah, blah. Like somebody said to me, he said they've forgotten that person is in showbiz. Huh? He's in showbiz. His job is to entertain you partly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? However you put it, his job, he thrives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He thrives on showbiz. But if you go to a job interview, wear your earring. Anywhere in the world, though. Anywhere in the world. Put earring. Put braid your hair. Yeah, and wear a suit. Let somebody else come with a nice clean cut, wears his suit, and shows up. You're already in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Both of you have the same qualifications. Both of you speak the same thing. You are already in trouble. Because even if the people who employ you, they first have to say to themselves, maybe they will think that we are biased. Maybe they will think we are kenekon if we don't take him. Maybe, you see, they're already struggling with something internally. You have already set yourself at a disadvantage to start with. Now somebody has to start saying, they might even say I'm racist. And they might even say, can you come if I don't take it? They might even say, the other person, there's nothing. He's not thinking anything. He's just looking at what is before him. This is his credential. This is his skill. This is his experience. Are you there? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go very quickly. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verses 11 and 20. Let somebody else open Proverbs 10, verse 19. Let somebody else open Proverbs 17, 27 to 28. So did you get all three? Proverbs 29, 11 and 20. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Proverbs 17, verses 27 to 28.
29, 11 and
20. 11 and 20.
11 and 20. A fool, Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keep it in till afterwards.
Utters all his mind. One says a fool vents all his feelings. But a wise man keeps it till afterwards. Okay? Verse 20.
Verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him.
See, a man who is hasty, who talks a lot, as he writes, he replies. He says there's more hope for a fool than for him. Are you with me? When you open Facebook, what does it say? Eh? What's on your mind? Somebody wakes up in the bed, grabs the phone by the side, opens Facebook, then he says, what's on your mind? Say, I just feel very sad this morning. I don't even know what this country is like. I mean, they're just kidnapping people. 20 killed last night. I don't even know what this country is turning into. How anybody can survive, I don't even know. We're all finished. Abby, what's on your mind? You should say what? None of your business. Abby, give us another one.
Proverbs 10, verse 19. The the Passion Translation. It says, if you keep talking, it won't be long before you are saying something really wrong.
Good.
You are wise from the very start.
Good. If you keep talking.
If you keep talking, it won't be long before you are saying something really wrong.
Good.
So, prove you're wise.
Have you ever read people's posts before? And you felt, this person shouldn't have put this. Huh? Check again and you discover that it happens to people who post a lot. Are you getting what I'm saying? It happens to people who write a lot. They're always writing something and posting, writing something and posting, writing and posting. You'll find a number of times they will write and post and you're thinking, why did he post this one? They're writing some things. You are also beginning to guess. This is why it's coded message. This is what he's writing. Are you getting what? He didn't say that's what it is, though. Are you with me, anybody? In fact, this week, two ministers put out messages that they had to explain. I think at least one put it down. Huh? And in all honesty, were they talking about what people thought they were talking about? Well, we don't know, because they didn't say they were talking about this, but it came out and people just tied it to something else around and said, this is what he must be talking about. So what's he saying? If there's a lot of words, sin is not very far. You will make mistakes. You will say things at the wrong time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't post. As a matter of fact, we are saying make sure that the social media, if anything, has a lot more positive things in there than the negatives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I'm saying that if you are always trying to offer an opinion about everything. People write something, they post something, you are the first to comment on it, you are the first to give an opinion, you are going to say things you shouldn't say. And if you have to say things that you have to explain, then the thing you said is wrong. You shouldn't have said it. Do you know what I mean? If you have to say something and then you have to come back again to tell us, what I mean is not, it is, you shouldn't have said it. Or you should have taken more time to think it. It says the wise man holds it till afterwards. Are you hearing me? Okay. 17, 27, 28. Proverbs 27. Abi? 17, 27 to 28.
It says,
message.
Message Bible. It says, the one who knows much says little.
The one who knows much says little.
An understanding person remains calm.
And a what?
An understanding person remains calm.
An understanding person remains calm.
Even in dunes, who keep quiet are thought to be wise. As long as they keep their mouths shut, they are smart.
Okay, so they taught us in another way in primary school, where they said the empty barrels make the most noise. So a lot of people talk. It's really because they don't know. You understand? Those who know the most about the matter, they don't talk as much. You usually have to go and prod them and beg them and push them to say, what do you think of this thing? And then he thinks, he doesn't want to say it. And there's a lot of saying that goes on social media that is not even supposed to be there. There's somebody I want to give a call, and I'm still probably going to give him a call and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what you are doing. You know, I don't know what you are doing. If what you are doing is, Christian referee, Christian, whatever, I don't understand what it is. You know what? I think you need to stop it. You know, because you are up there trying to show us the doctrine by rebuking and making fun of believers and of preachers. And I'm like, I don't know what you are doing. Because it's a market square. If you are going to correct it, go to a minister's meeting. And sit down there and discuss it there. Why are you putting that out in the market square? Are you with me? Somebody posted years ago and posted something doctrinally and tagged me. I think tagged Pastor Godman. I said, what's your view on this matter? I ignored it completely. I think Pastor Godman ignored completely. Because I thought you were asking me a doctrinal question in the market square. Are you even serious at all? I mean, we don't do that in the market square. You want to discuss doctrine. And then we sit down and discuss among believers. You don't cast your peers before shrines. Are you there? And there's even only so much you can say, you know, in that kind of environment. There's only so much you can explain. So that's why we have had tight controversy till tomorrow. I'll not put anything about it there. Because that's not the place for it. Are you hear what I'm saying? That's not the place for it. That's not the place to discuss it. That's not the place to explain it. Whoever doesn't believe it should not believe it. The one that wants to believe it should go to church and go and learn doctrine. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay, so any comments, questions? Yes.
I would also like to add that there is a false narrative that social media, in as much as social media is very good, there are false narratives it gives. Take for example, you know, for a woman to be perfect, she has to have this body. And for a guy to be perfect, he has to be maybe tall, dark, cute. So this has led most people, you know, altering their body just to be perfect. And also this narrative that if you're in a relationship, last, everybody will chop breakfast. So those are the narrative that social media has put out. So what I just want to say is that once you are confident of once you are confident of how God sees you, and you have those scriptures at your fingertips, you're constantly speaking to them like, my marriage will work. I will eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner from my house. And you just constantly keep speaking to yourself, it will help reduce, it will give that self-esteem, and then you are very confident that everything will fall in place and this is for your good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And I was in my neighborhood pharmacy and I was chatting with the pharmacist, or somebody else, and they were talking about, the person chopped breakfast. I said, that's good. That's good. He said, no, that's not what we're saying. I said, hey, what are you saying? He said, he chopped breakfast. Now, if he chopped breakfast, that's a good thing. You know, I had to explain to me that, hey, you chop breakfast. It means they are firing the guy. I said, oh, okay. Amen. Yeah, but that speaks to the Athenians. Okay? They're always learning and telling something new. At the end of the day, they get their doctrine or indoctrination from that kind of environment. At the end of the day, they are so confused that they have all kinds of gods. Okay, their doctrine, their life's principles are based on what they saw on social media. And in fact, one of the strangest things I've seen on social media are the false narratives. I don't understand them. You know, first, number one, people put up only the best things that have happened to them. You understand? In most cases. So just like you said, it's like the movies in those days also. The movie star is this, so to speak, supposedly perfect looking person. I say supposedly because, again, who is that perfect person? You know, it's whoever the media keeps putting up and propping up, you understand, in front of you, that eventually becomes recognized as the standard eventually. So if the media decides tomorrow that for you to be the perfect man, you must be 5'5". Eh? You know 5'5"? That's maybe a ladies. Huh? And very skinny. They just need to start featuring that in every movie. The star will be a 5'5", very skinny guy, blah, blah, blah. They do that long enough. Everybody starts believing in the 5'5". Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't believe me. So it's whatever is propped up that becomes the issue. And that's the danger of what you come in contact with on the media as a whole. And now, particularly in our day and age, on the social media. Hallelujah. Yes.
So I want to make a quick reference to what you said about the media putting up stuff. For example, when you talk about fashion trends, I remember that period when it was boot cuts. That was the fashion then. And then now you cannot imagine someone wearing a boot cut. But trust me, that fashion is still coming back. It is still coming back. Do you understand? There was a time when it was this skinny jeans and all that, yeah, before boot cut came. So it's just a cycle. And then if we are not careful, we tend to get swept by whatever comes. So we need to be very careful. Thank you.
Be like Pastor Enwa, he doesn't follow any of them. You know, what's the trend now? Your trouser must not reach the floor. Are we? I remember when I went to sew with the tailor that was here, you know, and the guy was, my friend,
look at me very well.
I said, you see, number one, that trouser must not be skinny. Number two, it must reach the floor. He said, no, that's not how they do it now. I said, did I ask you how they do it now? I know what's in your head. That's what I'm telling you now. Don't tell me this is it. I don't want to see it. I know what I'm wearing. Now I'm old enough to know what I want to wear. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. You have.
Praise the Lord. There's a time when I was in Enugu, and there's this estate, Bricks House, I remember very well. And young guys would come in. I talked to a lot of people. You know, a lot of students around there had troubles, some had challenges. Thieves were also troubling the area. So the guys will come and tell you, you need to, they can help you become strong. And they use that persuasively to pull a lot of people, let a lot of people into the bush and made them become cultists. I know very well because a lot of them came, some of them that will bring buses and take them to fellowship, campus fellowship. They started telling us later on that how they became cultists also was because they would portray certain images that people, students liked so much. Then what used to reign is there's this thing they call Star Trek or something. So Nigerian breweries would go from state to state, campus to campus. They would do program, MTN would do shows and all that. So the kind of stars that were reigning, Plantation Boys and all that, so they tell you that Two-Face is a member of this cult. So when you are in the cult, you are able to associate with such people. Ejike Asiebu, a popular actor, is a godfather in this cult. They begin to call names for you. Meanwhile, those people are not in any way in those cults, as we later found out. So, because we were asking them. So they already got in, only to find out that it's not true. Like, somebody want to make money rituals. If you watch some films, they tell you, you become very rich and all that. They don't paint the other side, the negative, that something can go south and all that. And then to later buttress this point is people now look at certain people on social media. Everybody wants to be Regina Daniels, who is a number what and what wife to a senator. So our role models are not people on social media. Our role model is Christ. So if you want to dress in a particular way, when a man is going to find a wife, he's not going to look at your status to find a wife, because what's trending now, you see young girls, it's trending. Young girls, I called one, I had to scold one. I said, stop this nonsense. Young girls, we wear something skimpy and something almost revealing, and they play music and dance and put it on their status. Like, the advertisers, like, I'm here. You know, for sale, I'm for sale. If a man is going to marry you, a man who wants a good wife, he's not going to look at that and say, I will buy this market. No. At least you can ask Uche. So, you're not going to look at that. In fact, a pastor released a message within the week, and he said, you keep crying of heartbreak because you make yourself available in negative light. When you are not angry that when the man wants to marry, he went to look for a decent person, what advert did you give him? So our role model is not because you saw somebody do it. Even if an unbeliever is doing it, it's not for a believer to start copying, because Somebody started it and people started copying it. We don't copy those things. Those are not the things we do. That's what we do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so bring the communion. Let's stand on our feet. Were you blessed? So it's not the hearer that is blessed, but the doer. Are we? So you need to sit down, make certain decisions. You know, what am I going to change about how I use social media? About, I mean, nobody's saying get off it, except the first one that I talked about. You remember that? Or it's beginning to affect your self-confidence and image. Get off it. That's very unhealthy. Okay? You are beginning to count the likes and the blah, blah. Get off it, at least for a while, until you get yourself reset. And you know who you are. You know, and say, I know who I am. You have to know who you are in Christ. And the Bible says we are complete in Him. Hallelujah. So whether you are thinking, people don't think I'm brilliant, people don't think I'm smart, they don't think I'm beautiful, they don't. Then you need to stay away for a while. Reset your whole brain wiring. Hallelujah. Well, we take the communion. It's not just anything. We take them in remembrance of Him, like Jesus told us to do. What are we remembering? We're remembering that if He came and He died, if God gave us His only Son, how will He not with Him? Romans chapter 8 verse 32, I believe, tells us. He said, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? So we're remembering that if He already died, and this is a representative or elements to remember His body and His blood. By that body, the Bible says His body was broken so that ours might be intact. The Bible says by His stripes we were healed. So He bore Himself, took our sickness and bore our diseases. Why? So that we might be in health. So if you are sick, that's what you believe for as you take the body. Can I have an amen? We take the blood, because without the blood there is no covenant. And when we take that blood, we are remembering that by this blood we are cleansed from our sins and we have peace with God. We have a new covenant with God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so whatever the needs might be, if God did not spare His Son, how will He not then give you anything else you need? So Father, we take the communion this morning. We remember the sacrifice. We thank You for victory. We thank You because in Christ Jesus, we triumph always. So we believe this morning that this month we have a great time. This month we walk in victory. This month we walk in health. We walk in deliverance. We enjoy divine protection. We enjoy divine provision in the name of Jesus. Thank You because every need is met. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name.